7, verse 15. He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Driving down Dufferin Street in Toronto recently, I saw on the west side of the street a shop with a hand-lettered sign hanging over it. It read, Speedy Motors. I think this is probably a borrowing from a series of novels set in Botswana and written by Alexander McCall Smith, Scottish novelist. That series of novels features a garage called Speedy Motors, over which its proprietor, Mr. J.L.B. Mattacone, presides day by day. Mr. Mattacone, of course, intended his sign to mean that if you had your car fixed at his garage, the work would be done quickly. But he discovered that people thought if they had their cars fixed at his garage, they would run faster. What is the import when the psalmist hangs out a sign that says, Speedy words. His word runs swiftly. Well, what's that about anyway? Is that about Jesus? Jesus is the Word made flesh. It's easy for us to think of Him as in motion. But can't find any place in the Bible where it says Jesus ran. Was Jesus in a hurry? Was Jesus ever running late? That's why I run. Jesus too composed, I think. It's not about Jesus. It's clear that it's about what God says. The messenger and the Word are here the same. It's not the messenger who runs. It's the Word. And in this image, we confront the divine liveliness of God's Word, meaning not just Christ, but above all the Church's Scripture, through which alone we learn about Christ and about God's will. From the first day of creation on, God's Word is alive, and it gives life. Now, one more thing about this text right there in Psalm 147. It's especially associated with winter weather. In the Holy Land, winter weather is the rain is wanted, but not the ice and the snow. And in fact, it's unusual in Jerusalem. If it snows in Jerusalem, it'll be noted in the Toronto papers. So we hear of snow like sheep's wool, frost scattered like ashes, crystals of ice like crumbs. The psalm asks, who can stand before this cold? And it answers that question. Scripture is a match for every chill. He sends out His word and melts it. He makes the winds blow and the waters flow. This morning I want to speak quickly of three such words that run. The word of forgiveness is a speedy word, and we meet it in the winter of guilt and failure. Now this psalm is about how God's people came back from exile, and you could see that in the first half of the psalm where it speaks of the exiles. That exile was the worst thing that ever happened to God's people. I mean, the disastrous destruction of the city of Jerusalem, that was in July of 586. The city had been under siege for 18 months, and finally the Babylonians breached the walls. The soldiers poured in. A month later, Nebuchadnezzar sent one of his favorite assistants back, who torched the city and burnt the temple. Nothing like it had ever happened before, or hardly since. One of the Psalms says, they went after the carved work in the temple with hatchets. Another psalm says, our blood flowed like water in the streets. Now Jeremiah the prophet had already told them this would happen, that it would last for 70 years and that God would bring that exile to an end and the people would be able to return. But that seems impossible. This is the winter of their disconnect. Everything was gone. The temple was gone. The city was gone. They were separated from their families. Many were dead. Children separated from parents. And you know how long it took them to get out of Egypt. Babylon will never let them go. How can that word ever be effective? But then, as years passed, things began to fall apart in Babylon. They got weaker kings. They got someone who didn't have good judgment about business and moved the business capital to the desert. That same king didn't have good judgment about keeping religious peace. He joined ranks with his mother, an aged woman, and set up the religion of the moon god in Babylon. This did not endear him to the priests of Marduk. And then on the east, there began to arise an invader and a conqueror, Cyrus by name. And presently, it became apparent that Babylon was falling apart and that Cyrus would enter. He did. No blood was shed. The residents were glad to see him. And this conqueror, a man of a different religion, said to the Jews, "You can go back home. I will support the rebuilding of your temple." This is what it means that God's word runs swiftly. It is beforehand with God's people. It is there in the time of need. God is faithful to His promise. And when it happens, it is a marvel. The Hebrews said, this is in Psalm 126, "We thought we were dreaming." W.H. Auden put it that way, using slightly different image. He said once, "Unless you say, I must be mistaken, you must be mistaken." God's word runs swiftly, and when it accomplishes itself, it is a marvel. The word of forgiveness God offers to each of us in Christ. This morning, no guilt is too old, no sin too big, no past too long. But what a penitent may claim the word of forgiveness and begin a restored life in Christ. Isaiah speaks to us as he did to the exiles. "Comfort my people. Tell them your term of service is over. Your iniquity is forgiven." The word of forgiveness is a speedy word. Then the word of conviction is a speedy word. We meet it in the winter of doubt. And here I'm thinking about what Paul accomplished when he went to Macedonia, spent 3 Sabbath days in the synagogue, arguing with the Jews there from their own scriptures and ours about who the Messiah was. He reasoned with them from Scripture, the book of Acts tells us, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead. Now Israel had waited for the Messiah, many Babylonian exiles. The synagogues everywhere felt the chill of messianic disappointment, and hope languished beneath the frost. A 19th century joke must already have been circulating in Paul's day. A poor man went to the rabbi trying to find work. The rabbi said, "Well, things are tough everywhere, but if you will stand at the gate of the city and watch for the Messiah, we'll pay you a shekel a day." The poor man said, "Well, it's all I've got, but that's not very much money." The rabbi said, "I agree it's not, but job security is excellent." But now, Paul is there in the synagogue, proclaiming from the Scripture, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Messiah." God makes His wind blow and the waters flow. And the results were amazing. This is back in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts tells us a number of the regulars were convinced by Paul. A great many of the devout Greeks, those were people who weren't really Jews but liked the Bible and Jewish theology and family life. A great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. The harvest was so big, Paul said, I must be mistaken. But when he wrote back to that congregation, as he does in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he has in mind what happened when he was there. He says, pray for us, brothers and sisters, that the word of God may speed ahead. The Greek says that the word of God may run, exactly as the Hebrew does. And Paul is here quoting the 147th Psalm. Pray for us, brothers and sisters, that the word of God may run as it did among you and be honored as happened with you. The word of conviction is speedy. We encounter it in the time of our doubt. There are always answers to questions that we have when we doubt, especially when we touch the Bible. I find that people who dismiss the Bible have often never read it. If you're uncertain this morning about what the church believes about Jesus or about the Christian faith, I invite you to take the big risk. The big risk is read the Bible. Read the Gospels. Look directly at those ancient records with their first-hand witness to Christ. It's a risk because the Scriptures are filled with confidence. They are speedy words. Working together, the wind blows, the word runs, the word and the spirit bring confidence to your heart. And then I'm thinking in the third place that the word of revelation is a speedy word which we meet in the winter of meaninglessness. I've had one there from the Old Testament, that's Psalm 147. One from the New, there where Paul quotes it. Now I'm looking at someone that I knew personally and speaking about a bit of 20th century Christian biography. Émile Cayet, born in France before the First World War, he was completely secular, but looking for meaning wherever he could find someone to talk to or something to read. He was required to fight in the First World War. On the French side, it made his despair worse, especially when his buddy was shot down right in front of him as they were having a conversation and his buddy was talking about his own mother. Émile was himself wounded, rescued by American soldiers, nursed back to life in an English hospital. His despair never left him. Neither did his search. I heard him tell this story once in class. He was then the Stuart Professor of Christian Philosophy at Princeton Seminary, and I discovered later on that he'd written it as well in his autobiography, Journey into Light. Cayet married a Scots-Irish woman, a godly woman whose parents had not only sent her to the Anglican Sunday school, but also to the Presbyterian one. What do you think of that? Topping up Anglicanism with Presbyterianism. But when they married, he made it clear to her that he was secular and that the Bible would not even be allowed in their home. Reluctantly, she agreed. After the war, he went back to his studies in Paris. He was looking for a book that would understand him. That's how he himself put it. He began to collect ideas and themes that he found in his reading. He copied them into a small leather book that he always carried in his pocket. He began to number them in red ink so he could find them easily and think about them. He said to himself, "This will be the book that understands me." He finished that on one afternoon, a day of warm sunshine, and took it into the garden to sit, to read, and to savor. As he did so, disappointment crept over him. Instead of satisfying his longing for meaning, each of those quotations reminded him of where he was when he read it and of the book he had found it in. With a heavy heart, he put it away. Meanwhile, on that very afternoon, his wife had taken a walk, pushing their baby in the stroller. She'd gotten disoriented, partly by the cobbled sidewalks, and turned blindly into a walled garden there in Paris. She found herself climbing stone steps at the end of a building. And when she looked in the door at the top, she saw a cross. She realized she'd stumbled onto a Huguenot church, hidden away even long after the persecution was over. An old man was inside. She heard herself say to him, "Do you have a Bible in French?" He smiled and gave her one. She took it, but bolted from the room, filled with guilt for violating her husband's order. At the very moment of Émile Cayet's disappointment in his collection of themes and quotes, his wife entered the garden, ready to make her confession. As she began, he cried out, "You have a Bible? Give it to me. I've never seen one." He snatched the word that runs from her hand and ran with it to his study. He began to read where it fell open, at the Beatitudes. He read and read, first silently, then aloud, and it finally dawned on him, "This is the book that understands me." Those were speedy words, words of revelation found in the time of meaninglessness. He read deep into the night, mostly from the Gospels, and as he did so, he says, "The one of whom they spoke, the one who spoke and acted in them, became alive to me." He prayed that night, and God answered. Now, Cayet was right, of course, to ban the Bible from their home. Correct, that is, if he was determined to hold to the godless philosophy he'd been born into. But once he was overtaken by the word that runs, once it reached him under the radar, as it were, that divine word brought the person and work of Christ directly to him, and his transformation began. That is the church's scripture, the speedy word of God that shows us God ever faithful to his word and waiting to perform marvels for his people. There is a winter that always seeks our hearts. Negative emotions like anger, resentment, disappointment bring us the big chill. Inability to let go of things we need to put behind us congeal the spirit. Distractions hail upon us. Ardor for the things of God cools. The chill of compromise and sin may lie upon our soul. As the psalm says, we could steel ourselves to stand before this cooling of the heart. But why should we, when God sends out his word to melt it? God's speedy word is at your door. The divine word is at your window. Word and spirit together. Make this October 17 the anniversary of more than another year at 44 Church Street. Open up to the word that runs, to that warmth, to that reversal, to that renewal. You can say with an old hymn, "Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. So it is, after all, about Jesus, isn't it? Thus might I hide my blushing face while His dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. Thanks be to God for His Word. We will sing the hymn 497.